So, and the usual stuff. Look at me, forget the cameras here, all that fun stuff.
Alright, so we're supposed to have a conversation about Max, but I think we're talking to the Channel 9 audience, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. So,
who are you guys, first of all? What the hell are we doing here?
I'm Piero Sierra. This is Colin Anthony.
Hey, how are you doing?
And Dave Citron.
Great. And what is Max?
That's a hard question.
So what is Max? And what was the goal of the project? Why don't you show it to me? Because it's cool.
Okay, well, I'll give you a demo, but I think I should put a little framework around the demo to make it easier to understand what we're doing. We're, all of us, really, and most of the folks that are on our team, we're part of the Explorer team for Windows for a long time. So we were doing in different forms, right? So part of our team actually went and did MSN Explorer. Part of our team was doing the Windows Explorer, Internet Explorer, and the Windows Shell. And we were working on Vista. And in Vista, we had these goals of creating a new experience for how people manage their data. And I think you will see it as people install Vista and play with it. A lot of those ideas were realized, and we're very excited about them. But we wanted to, as Vista is kind of landing and people are, you know, just fixing bugs and focusing on getting that thing out the door, we wanted to think, you know, what could we do even further out than Vista? And are there some changes that we would need to do to the basic architecture of how you manage and visualize your data and exchange your data with other people that we could deliver? So we created this project, Project Max, to build this experience that really lets you visualize, organize, and exchange any kinds of data with super rich, cool views, and really with anybody across the internet, so peer-to-peer, taking advantage of a lot of these things that both the new NFX platform that's available, so we're using that, and we're really excited about that, Avalon and Indigo and various parts of the CLR, as well as creating a peer-to-peer infrastructure so that you can share data with people as you know how that works.
Yeah.
And visualizing things really richly, which is surprisingly hard to do if you want to be able to have it abstract. If you think a little bit about those web mashups where people are taking, you know, GPS data of photos and putting it on top of a Google map, and they're doing that in kind of an ad hoc fashion. There's no standard scheme underneath to describe the data. There's no way to plug in the views together. The views aren't nestable and connectable together. And so we thought, boy, what could we do in the longer time frame? So really, we're much more in the Windows Live and maybe even Blackcomb time frame in terms of being a product. Right now, we're more of an incubation of a product. And so with that, we started building this thing. So if you want to just look at this, I have two computers here. I'm demo one and then demo two,
okay.
And they're currently. I'll sign out just to show you, but they're currently signed in. Right now, our sign-in identity authority is passport, so you just sign in. And then that actually works at that distance. Wow, it's amazing. So I'm signing in into passport.
Yep.
And when I sign in here, I'm getting a certificate back from passport.com.
Okay.
And so then we can use that passport to exchange data richly between different clients of Max. And so the first scenario we focused on was making lists of photos and sharing them with people across the internet. And we figured that was a great scenario. It's meaty. People definitely need to do it. And if you think about sharing photos across the internet today, it's both difficult and lame.
Right.
It's difficult because what are you going to do? Burn them on a CD and mail a CD to somebody? I mean, if you want to share the master photos, right, not some like crappy little version that you put on a website. And it's lame because the person that receives them, even in the best possible scenario where they got an email CD from you in the mail and they put it in their computer, all they get from that is a slideshow of photos. Photo one, photo two, photo three. And so we thought we could do better than that. So the first thing you'll see here is I can go ahead and create a list of photos. And so I can go navigate any of my folders here. So I'll just click the browse for photos. And you see that these are the folders on my hard drive. And I can zoom this in a little bit if I can't see them well enough.
Okay.
Click and go into that folder there. And I can select some photos to add. So I'll add this one, go back up, and I'll go into another folder. Let's go into this art and nature folder. Maybe we'll add all of these pictures. So I add them all. And here already you see that our views architecture is pretty rich because it allows us to put, for example, our views are fully scalable. So if I can, you know, zoom all the way up so I can actually see the photos at quite large size.
Yeah.
And it's all single click. So as I click around here, let's go add a few more photos to this. Maybe some of these. We'll add that penguin shot. So when I click on it, single click, it just adds it to the bottom of the list. If I want to rearrange it, I can drag it, put it somewhere else in the list, and just, you know, drop it maybe in here.
That's so cool.
And so now I've made my list. I say create list. So now we have a list of photos.
And our goal is to share it with somebody. So the first thing I want to do is maybe put them in order. So maybe I'll start with this picture of the sunflower because it's a nice picture. I'll put this one first. I mean, actually, this picture is kind of drab, so I'll just remove it. Now I have my photos exactly the way I want them, and I can share them across the internet by just giving them a name and putting some people on them. So let's go ahead and do that. So let's call this, you know, demo photos, and I'm going to hit the share button. And I'm going to type in mdemo2@hotmail.com. And here I can type in as many email addresses as I want to. They're just passport,
yep.
You know, used to limited accounts. And so I type in here, check out these cool photos. And I hit share. So now what happens is an invitation to this album has been sent up to a server.
Okay.
No files have left the hard drive in any way. But the invitation to the album has gone up to a server. This computer here goes, checks to see, is there an invitation for me to a peer-to-peer session to download photos from somebody else? And if this computer finds one, then these computers will try to establish a direct peer-to-peer connection to copy the data over between each other.
Okay.
If there is a problem with that in any way, for example, if there's a firewall in the way, or if there's two firewalls in the way, which is the worst possible case, then we have a relay server, and we just bounce the data off the relay server. Our servers never actually hold the photos, but they just bounce the, you know, encrypted little blobs of the photos back and forth.
Yeah. And how many people can you share with? Is it just one computer to one computer, or can I people who are all supporting
right.
my group?
So right now you can share out from this computer, you can share out to as many people as you want, like to say 100 people.
Okay.
If they're all downloading at once from you, well then they're all going to be limited by the upload bandwidth that you can send them photos. So the experience won't be great because it'll be kind of slow if you try to share with 100 people. But we're investigating some technologies to kind of work around that.
Okay. And can I share photos and videos or just photos?
So over time, you should be able to visualize, organize, and exchange any data that you care about, whether it's any data. So whether it's music, videos, Word documents, the TV shows that your TV has recorded, emails, blog, RSS data, I think is going to be very interesting for us as well. So really, our platform is sort of agnostic to that. You just have to add a new data type, add a new schema, and add a little bit of UI for your particular scenario. Over time, we hope that we get it that way.
You guys are running this on Windows XP. This is not Windows Vista, right?
This is,
it looks very cool.
Oh, yeah. This runs on Windows. This actually runs on Windows Vista, but in private builds. Right now, it runs on Windows XP SP2, and it requires the latest WinFX drop that was released at the PDC.
Which is about 30 megabytes.
Yeah, 50. And the install process for that's a little bit painful. So this isn't quite for.
Or is this going to cost me money at some point?
We don't know what the product for this is really.
Okay.
So right now it's definitely a free tool. You can use it to share photos with anybody you want. But we are running servers that cost us money to run. But right now we just want to get a user base, try out our technology, make sure that that connectivity stuff works, make sure that we have a platform where other people can build experiences. Over time, we hope to find a way to fit this in with existing Microsoft products and strategies, be they in Windows or in Windows Live or other parts of the company.
Okay.
So we don't really know what that is. We just don't know right now.
Is it true that this is all built with .NET-based technology?
Yeah. This is it's a .NET-based application in Avalon.
Right?
This is all managed code. The reason I'm shaking this window is to show you that it's the big boogeyman of performance. It's not a slow app. This is an entirely managed application. It runs in Avalon. And you can see that performance is pretty decent. When I go ahead and I make a list, you see that we're reading a bunch of files really quickly. You can see, I'm just doing a kind of a perf test to show you, hey, things, you know, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And we are working with, the thing is, we're kind of an early advanced team with the WinFX organization. So we give them a lot of feedback on people trying to write a real application, deploy it, have real customers actually use it in WinFX, what works well, what doesn't work well, where the APIs fall short, where the performance isn't what we want it to be.
WinFX is the technology that used to be called Avalon, or Avalon's a part of WinFX.
Avalon is a part of WinFX. WinFX is this umbrella for the new set of Windows APIs. It includes Avalon, Indigo, the CLR, the latest CLR, and the .NET framework. And then eventually we'll contain other things, like possibly WinFS and things that go in there as well. We use the latest released version of the WinFX, which is the version that was released at the CLR, at the PDC.
CTP.
What?
The September
CTP.
Yeah.
And so when you install Max, we automatically take care of installing all of that for you. But I know that some of your, some of the people that are going to be watching this video probably have a newer version of WinFX, and our Max will not run with that. So we're just playing catch up a little bit.
And
there.
When the beta 2 comes out, I think sometime in December,
we'll update.
A new version of Max to run on that.
Correct. We auto update. So once you install Max, through Microsoft Update, we just push out new versions of it that try to stay current with the latest OS releases as well, or OS component releases as well.
Do you want to show some of the other capabilities with some of the other views?
Sure. Let's go ahead and receive an album.
Was this stuff from research? This looks like a lot similar to the stuff we saw.
MediaFrame.
And some of the stuff that Curtis
Wong. Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking to those guys and getting inspiration from them. It's no code from research, but it's a lot of ideas from research in this particular case.
And a lot of, if you think about just data visualization, which we'll show you in a second, there is a really rich body of knowledge around how to visualize data in rich ways that we want to tap into. So let's go ahead and receive that list. So you'll go to other people's lists, and you'll notice that the Demo Photos album is available here. And it hasn't been downloaded yet. I can see it. When I click on it, I can accept it or decline it, because we don't show any photos for privacy reasons. But if I go accept, now it's going to try to establish a connection between these two computers and download the photos. So you can see that they're coming in there. We have 37 photos. They're coming in relatively quickly. The speed of that connection makes me think that we actually have been able to successfully establish a peer-to-peer connection between these two peers.
And they're both on the same network, so in theory, they should just talk to each other full bandwidth. Sometimes, though, even that fails.
And so we use a combination of IPv6, Teredo tunneling, and our connectivity server to try to establish the best possible connection that we can. So sometimes the connection is not this fast, but this is good news, because these are very large photos. And we're not.
How large are these?
They're like 2 megabytes each. They're like sort of 8 megapixels, you know, so they're large photos. And if I come in here,
you'll see now that the album is downloaded. So now I can go look at this album and play it. And so here you can see that I'm just getting a nice playback experience. And the photos came in the order that they were received, that I sent them out here. So this particular photo here of the sunflower was the one that came first. But I could go ahead and I could apply a different view to these photos. So I could go ahead and say, let's take this view
and apply what we call the album view. So the album view is,
and again, you can just see our view technology allowing us to make composable, pluggable views very easily.
Yeah.
So this
now
view.
How are you guys doing that kind of animation?
Oh, we use Avalon Animations for that.
It's actually part of the WinFX platform that allows you, when you're using Avalon, you define elements and you define behaviors and patterns between them, and then you just kind of let it go.
Now, does that show your CPU? Or?
No, I can show your CPU here. It
should be fine. Well, let's see. Well, let's see, 21% on idle here, and I'm going to start animating. Avalon actually uses the 3D guard. So we are definitely hitting a spike there. Those are pretty low, but it's not killing it.
Yeah.
It's not like hitting 100 and freezing there. Avalon
they try as much as possible to actually use your GPU. So these laptops actually have 3D cards in them, and in fact, I can even show you a 3D view here.
So this is a view of your photos, but you can go ahead and apply something like this. So this is a 3D view of the same list of photos. And it works very much the same way. I can play it back.
Yeah.
So if I'm playing it back, I can see my photos and just go between the various slides. And then if I see a photo I like, you know, like maybe just go fast through these. Here's a photo I think is attractive. I click on it, and we just zoom in and show it. And so where possible, Avalon is trying to do this all with the GPU and not the CPU.
And obviously, the better the GPU you have, the smoother that will be.
Correct. If you go to the About dialog on our
application, if you click on About here, you'll see that it says Max Graphics High. And that just means that we have a GPU and it's capable of doing the acceleration for Avalon.
And if it's lower, Max still works fine, but the performance goes down quite a bit.
Okay.
And we turn off all the animations.
We turn off the animations to get a little bit spammier performance.
So let me show you here, as we were creating a list, so here we've created a list. I can, as I go my album view, you can edit it and kind of change things around a little bit. So let's say that you want, I don't know, the Space Needle photo. You actually want it on this other slide. So you drag it and drop it, and it replaces it with that one. Or here, let's say that this photo is so nice that it deserves its own slide. You can kind of break it out onto its own slide like this. And you can tell a story.
Wow.
And kind of move things around. And in fact,
that also works in 3D. So if I go and I do the 3D stuff.
Are the PowerPoint guys talking to you about
yeah, actually, we have a little demo where we where we pull PowerPoint. We have a demo where we do that.
Where we turn in PowerPoint. The Avalon elements and actually can show it in a very similar way.
So look at this. This is kind of fun because it's the same functionality in 3D. So I can take this photo and swap it with that one or break it out into its own slide. Or maybe let's go and add this photo to this slide. And you see that it just kind of adds it up there, and you can change the order of them. It's kind of a nice way to kind of create an album in 3D. And this is what
you saw there, that feature set, is what was released on Microsoft.com/Max, and you can just go download it and play with it. We've been adding new features. I'll give you a sneak peek of just a little thing we added.
So if you select the photo and you hit annotate, this is kind of new. We bring up an annotations dialog, and we show the crop lines of where the photos can be cropped, and we can say, you know, we can scribble on the photo and say, hey, look at this guy. I don't have a pen on this thing.
So writing
with a tablet, it's great. But surprisingly, we've been scribbling on our photos just with the mouse, and it's a lot of fun.
And this, for us, was extremely easy to do because all we had to do was, in Avalon, create a, what's it called, an ink canvas,
an
I think
ink
it's
canvas
called?
Control.
Which we just overlay on top of our photos and say, write ink, and then sync that over. So, in fact, if I go ahead and I sync this, so this is the urban album with a little annotation there. And I'm going to hit it and share it back in demo2 at hotmail.com.
Oh, one,
sorry. Share. If I come here and I download that album, I should have the ink annotations being shared as well, and we can just set that happening in the background. That's a different urban album. We have two of them. I've shared that one before, but it doesn't matter.
Very cool.
So we'll let
any tips for since you guys are probably one of the first teams in the world to use Avalon and use WinFX, any tips for the .NET programmers who watch Shadowland?
Well, you've been handling the Avalon relationship. I don't know if you have any tips for developers.
I have tips for developers specifically. I don't think I have any.
No, we could talk to some of the you're looking at the PMs.
We're the high level marketing.
We need to go around the hall.
You need to walk around the hall and see to show you the album.
Yeah.
We thought we had you going there for a while, but notice that this is the other computer now, and the album and the annotation have arrived together.
Cool.
So that's kind of a nice new feature for us.
We'll have to sit down with somebody. I know.
Yeah. Well, you know Ben Kahn, right? And he spends a lot of time working on the team. And
yeah.
Hopefully the constructive tips. The Avalon team isn't always. Sometimes we get into little yelling matches, but all for the benefit of the platform.
Yeah.
We're very excited. We have been. So our product. Let me tell you a little bit about our development cycle, because that's we're trying some things that are maybe not new to the industry, but certainly new to Microsoft. So we are. This is not a real released product yet. It doesn't even have an unofficial name. It doesn't have a marketing strategy. It doesn't have anything. Keep the name. The name too. I know. We're gonna try. We'll see.
I know.
It's gonna be Microsoft Data. It's gonna be Microsoft Data Exchange Visualization App or something. By the time marketing's done with it. But
someday I'm gonna get slapped by
a marketing. Gonna get a hold of the video.
It's like there's a good reason for all those things.
But so we have a development philosophy that we iterate very quickly. We are on it's all relative, but we're on 3-month milestones, which I think is relatively quick.
Yeah.
And every 3 months we land the product completely. So we take off, we write some features, and then we land the product in the way that we can distribute it to all of our users. So if you're a subscriber of Max or an installed user Max, you will get new updates every 3 months. So we might decide not to release an update every 3 months, but we have the ability to do that, which keeps us real in terms of the amount of work that we take on. It helps us schedule things and get things done. It also keeps us much more responsive to our actual user base. So I don't know if you noticed that there's little things, and this is just a
tiny little thing, but on the homepage for Max is our blog.
Yep.
And so this is just our blog data directly from, you can go to Microsoft.com.
What's the
MSDN.microsoft.com/Max.
And so.
Blogs.microsoft.com/Max.
Yeah, there you go. But the point is, we're trying to set up a two-way conversation with our users where it's not this thing like we, lock ourselves up in a basement for 2 years and then release some huge product and then listen a little bit to feedback and then try to update it for the next 2-year cycle. We want to do that on a much, much faster basis. And so
right now we've been able to do that, and we've been, and tying this back to WinFX, I think WinFX has allowed us, even though it's a not finished platform yet, and so there are challenges building on top of a moving platform, as anybody knows.
Well, you're one of the premier customers too, so they're probably
they treat us well. Yeah. They definitely treat us well. They treat us well. That said, the platform still changes. So every so often, we'll get a mail from somebody in WinFX land saying, "There's big breaking change coming. All of the APIs for how you do data sync are changing." And we go like, "Oh, okay, that's kind of painful." Despite that pain, we were able to build what you see here in three of our little 3-month jumps, effectively, which I think is very fast. The other thing that I think is maybe different from the way Microsoft traditionally does things is we put a lot of attention to tone and polish in our product from the very beginning. And it's little things, but I'll give you a...
The tabs here look very nice.
The tabs look nice, but I want to show you. You see these three photos, these photos here on the... This is just the bitmap, right? It's not the photos that have been shared with you, because we didn't have time to do that feature. Eventually we would do that. But a tiny little... showing you a tiny little bit of attention to detail. When I close this app and I reopen it, it just goes in the tray, right? It sits there. It happened to load up the same three photos, but we have several different wallpapers that we load up. And so every time, here they're different. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But now the photos on that wallpaper are different, just to give you kind of a more pleasant experience. And a lot of the animations are things that we don't think that animations are some P2 thing that you do after the product functionality is done. We think that's a P1 part of the experience. Because we aim to...
When you say P1, what do you mean?
Oh, priority one. Sorry, is that Microsoft Lingual P1? How long have I been here? No, we just think that...
So priority zero stuff, you have to do priority
one. We don't believe in priority zero on our team. No, it's P1, P2, and P3, just because it keeps things simpler. P1 is must have to release in a milestone, P2 is would be nice, and P3 is that's not going to happen, really. And so for us... The polish on the visual fidelity of things and the little shadows and the animations, all of that is part of the experience because we want to build software that people love. I don't think Max is there yet by any stretch of the imagination, but we don't want to build software that people use because it's useful, but they see this other thing that's much shinier over there, and we want them to love it. And I think actually our main competition on that front is Apple. Apple makes software that... you know, it has pros and cons in terms of its functionality. Sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's not as deep. But certainly, they have been able to deliver products that people emote with and feel very positively about. And we would like to do that as well. And so it's a challenge for us. Another thing you'll see is even the tone on our website.
I think got quite a bit of attention when we released at the BBC. I'll just go to our website here. I've never seen a camera get that close to the screen.
Oh, sorry.
But you say it works. So
yeah, you can see the screen. Right?
Microsoft.com/Max. So just on this website, we tried to pay attention to tone as well and not try to be the stuffy corporate Microsoft thing that we often get accused of being. Like, notice here, these are rotating photos of all the team members, and they just kind of come in and out, and you can see the various team members. And some of the tone you'll see here, sharing is good, and you know, share the love, and we're not robots. We're just trying to just be more friendly and be more accessible. Well, some of us are.
Davis.
Yeah. He's a very friendly, nice member.
Yeah. Actually, long story of tales there. Our team is kind of a safe haven still for humans, we hope.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's our goal.
Well, this is cool stuff. And,
cool. Yeah. Hey, do you want to talk to Ben and see?
Yeah, I think he left. He was in here before.
Oh,
so.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk to him later. We'll get the dev side of the house on. I just want to see the product because a lot of people hadn't downloaded it and installed it. But
yeah.
Saw that people.
I think even when people downloaded it and installed it, we got some feedback at the PDC. There were things that people really liked and things that people really didn't like. The setup experiences, because it requires a reboot and the whole WinFX install, it's painful. Good news on that front is the WinFX is getting easier to install, and over time will just be installed by default.
Yeah.
And so when that's true, the setup experience that we have will be easier. Things that people really did like were the attention to detail and the polish and the 3D views and things like that. But I think that over time, we want to build a real kind of connected experience with people. I think I lost my point there.
Oh, you were falling into PMM there.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be great.
Thanks for spending some time with me.
Cool.
It's a great product, and thanks for...
We hope you enjoyed the Max. Yeah.